home and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to having wonderful dialogue and discussion as we talk about New Year's resolutions. Do you make New Year's resolutions? Do you keep them? Should Christians make New Year's resolutions? How should the resolutions be orchestrated, designed, and purposeful, and what focus should the New Year's resolutions be? You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to lose weight this year. One of the comedians of yesteryear said, I'm going to, I'm going to go by my own budget, even if I have to stay within my budget, even if I have to borrow money to do so. It's amazing what people say and do in relationship to entering into a new year. But may I say, be first one perhaps to say to you, Happy New Year. We're delighted that you tuned in and look forward to the dialogue and discussion that you'll have with us. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not base our decisions, our choices, our questions, our comments and responses on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, or political rightness, whether it's left or right. Each side say they're right. Left and the right say that they're right. But nevertheless, as we face the issues, we go based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the truth book. When Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, he says, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to orchestrate and direct our footsteps and our lives. It was the secularist George Orwell of yesteryear that said this, The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true even today. If you don't believe that, just tune in to CNN, Communist Network News, and see what they say is truth. I've always said that a half-truth is a whole lie, but yet there are a lot of people that bifurcate truth or attempt to do so and not realize it's a lie. And it's deceitful. We find that we live in a whole world of deceit today, more than perhaps ever in our lifetimes, as we can recall. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. He made a powerful statement about truth. Headline of his statement says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint says. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for truth and recognize truth. I've got an article in my hand that says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. In part, this is what the article says. American institutions are suffering from a collapse in the public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And ladies and gentlemen, that's true today, and it's been true for quite some time. We look at what is happening with some of the younger generation that disbelieves in absolute truth. In fact, the headline says most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. And ladies and gentlemen, couldn't be any far from the truth. In fact, in this survey, it says 55% of the millennials say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. If that were true, we'd be in chaos and confusion all the time, never knowing what is true and what is not, never knowing which way to turn and which way to leave and leave off. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this, Faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the network that we're on is Truth Radio. That should tell you a lot about our philosophy about truth. Seek it, love it, listen to it, learn it, tell it, live it, and be willing to defend it, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day right here on this broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, lest I get carried away with the conversation today and failed to remind you, let me tell you in advance that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion as we speak today. We'll be speaking about, talking about, analyzing your thoughts, getting your requests and comments about New Year's resolutions. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time Care is the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time Care is the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-285 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with me around the round table today here in our studio, Brother Ken McElfresh. Brother Ken is the coordinator for the college for students coming in, and we're thankful to have him sitting here with us today talking about this subject. Brother Ken, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join me on this broadcast, this very special New Year's broadcast as we talk about New Year's resolutions. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Pastor. It's a great joy and privilege and an honor to be given this platform to share with you and discuss the issues of the day.
Wonderful. Well, let's just start out this way. What are some of the things that you hear people, they get a long list of resolutions at the beginning of the year, the last of the old year, and the going into the new year as we are now. And I have just made a note in relationship. Some will say, I'm going to spend less money this new year. Some will say, I'm going to lose a little weight this year. What are some of the things that you see that people will basically swear to? We're going to do this if we live. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're not going to do this. Not going to do that. What are some of those things that you hear more often about resolutions for the new year?
I think mostly you hear about the things that you mentioned. My weight, my physical condition, my ability to do athletic exercise, my budget, my finances, and more in the natural realm of how to make these maybe systematic improvements in our natural life. Occasionally, and I think to the benefit of people, they'll throw in a spiritual resolution here or there. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to read through the Bible this year. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to be more faithful in my attendance to church. I'm going to begin to be a witness for Christ faithfully. So there's kind of a whole broad category that you often hear people talk about.
Brother Ken, down through the years I've seen multitudes of people making their resolutions for the new year. And for the most part, in fact, a number of years ago, a new individual that had set up some 50 or 60 New Year's resolutions, going to revolutionize my life was the mindset with those resolutions. But ladies and gentlemen, what I've discovered, and I didn't discover it, it's research as I have found it, overwhelming majority, not some, not a few, overwhelming majority of all New Year's resolutions are broken and discarded within the first 30 days of the new year. So that shows that it is an impossibility from the human natural perspective for us to make commitments and resolutions, as it is called, for the new year and stick to them. There's got to be something far beyond just our human natural ability to do so. And secondly, Brother Ken, I believe we've got to have an eternal perspective on life. We've got to look at things beyond the natural, got to look at things beyond just the time of the present. We've got to look at things from the eternal perspective. What is it that God would have us to do? How is it God would have us to live? What should, I reckon a far deeper question, Brother Ken, should Christians delve into making resolutions for the new year?
Well, I think this is a great bridge to introduce what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart today to share with the audience, that I think resolutions are seated in correcting errors in one's life. And I think that it can be a great tool for an individual, particularly in the spiritual realm, to take a examination of themselves. And we're called and commanded, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So I think some time to reflect on where things were done poorly in our spiritual walk, where things were done maybe in a mediocre type way, or where we might have really excelled, where the Lord blessed us with grace for service, where we might be able to do more of that and abound in the work for Christ in the coming year. But seated in that error, my great burden right now, as I was thinking about this topic, is we have got to create awareness and do our utmost to create the three great errors in the local church. You brought up a key point, Pastor. The church, the house of God, the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. The modern evangelical church, what I mean by that, our churches in December of 2025, the modern church, are infested with some false teachings and false doctrine.
That's right.
And I think there's three great errors that if we could work toward and make awareness and publish biblical principles about these three great errors that exist, that if America, if Jacksonville, if our local churches are going to experience a fresh breath of God, the blessing of God, we've got to look serious at correcting these three great areas of error that exist. Some churches have more in degree of these errors than others. Some have less of them, or maybe they're non-existent. But if I could just share with you what I believe the three great errors are, and I have to lay it at the feet of the everyday Christian. Mm-hmm. From the beginning of time, from Genesis to the end of Revelation, there's two consistent topics that are talked about and have caused all the problem with sin and all the remedies that Christ and the Father and the Spirit have put into salvation. Number one is negligence on behalf of the individual with regard to the accurate content and requirements of God's word for them. That's number one. Number two, deviant worship. There is built into every human being, I believe, a social dimension where these half-truths, these errors come together, and people join together to what I call deviant worship. This began with Adam and Eve. They joined together based on false teaching, made bad decisions, and got this whole human race into sin. Cain and Abel is just a continuation of that. The nation of Israel, from the very inception of when God was seeking to organize a system of worship with a written law by Moses, what happened? Before Moses could get down to the mount, the people had set up deviant worship. That worship, the golden calf worship, proceeded through the reign of Jeroboam. Over 500 years, the golden calf was part of Israel, and they struggled with that. But and it proceeds into the New Testament. Jesus warning false teachers, false Christs. The epistles warning of grievous wolves that would enter in.
So are you saying, let me jump in for a moment. So you're saying that one of the major things that we're faced with in society today is the wrong philosophy, the wrong focus, the wrong recognition of worship and what the Word of God says. And as a result of that, we fall into what I simply call the human trap of believing that we set our own destiny. Brother Ken, and for our listeners today, by the way, that telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I don't know if our listeners understand it or not, but I've written down the numbers. We have 365 days in this new year, 52 weeks, 12 months, 8,000,000 8,736 hours, 524,160 minutes, and 31,449,600 seconds. Now, that sounds like a lot of time, and it is. But from day to day, moment to moment, I believe from the human perspective, Brother Ken, we fail to recognize that it's God that calls the shots. It is God. Amen. That is sovereign. It's God that makes the rules and the regulations, if you will, on how we should live our lives. So what we need to understand is, as we face this brand new year, each year holds all of tomorrow's. Each year holds all of our days, weeks, and months. And may I say that perhaps you've already decided, ladies and gentlemen, what you will do in the next year. Perhaps you've decided that you're going to do this today, this tomorrow, this next week. You're going to go this place to that place or the other. It is amazing to you how often, ladies and gentlemen, we try to make the decisions, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and how much time we're going to spend there, and how we're going to carry it out. Not recognizing that in James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, warns us of planning without praying for God's direction to give us wisdom as to what we're going to do. In fact, in that text, Brother Ken, it warns us of making plans and preparations without saying, Lord willing, this is what we'll do. This is where we're going to go. Ladies and gentlemen, 904-831-0917. I believe Dr. Davis is on the line. Go ahead with your questions or comments, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. I pray that you're better, and I pray, by the way, that your wife is well. Is she better today?
Yes, sir. Everything is looking up, and thank God for that. God is a healer. We put all things into his hands. So certainly, thank and praise God, because each and every time we pray, he promised to answer our prayers, and he has never failed us yet. So Amen. We as Christians today, we need to put our full trust and confidence in the hands of God. And certainly, speaking about the New Year's resolutions, I think Christians ought to be resolved every day, each and every day. It shouldn't take, you know, a new year to come in. And I thank God for what you just got finished saying, because, of course, we can't do anything without him. He told us in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. So certainly, we need to understand that when it comes to making resolutions or whatever goals we're trying to achieve, we ought to see, if the Lord's will, we will do this or we will do that, as the scripture commands us to do. Now, I thank God. I want to say also Merry Christmas and then Happy New Year. And I hope and pray that whatever gift you got, that you were satisfied with it. But I thank God, Dr. Youngblood, that my greatest gift didn't come from under a tree. My greatest gift hung on the tree. And that's
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
I like that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And when I look at that, when I consider that, and when I hold that near and dear to my heart, then it makes me resolve each and every day of my life, even approaching this new year, to do things in a much better way. How can I improve things as far as reaching out to others to help them to understand that they need a Savior? This is what we should be doing on today. So certainly, again, once again, Christians ought to live a life of resolve, not just waiting for the new year, but each and every day of our lives. We ought to be able to show a pattern of worship. We ought to be the model of worship for the rest of the world, to let them know that God is real and he's still answering prayer.
Amen. Dr. Davis, I've got a question for you. By the way, I'm thankful that you were able to call in today, since you couldn't be in person to join us, but I'm delighted that you have. And for the benefit of our listeners, let me ask you a question to get your response on it. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all of these things, and in the unit of thought, the context, food, clothing, and shelter, all of these things shall, not maybe, shall be added unto you. So my statement, first of all, and you add to that as you see fit, the first resolution as a Christian we need to have, and not just for the new year, but for every year, not just for today, but for every day, is let's put God first. Let's put God first. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first," and that word, as you, I'm sure, are aware, is the word protos, priority, number one. So the number one priority should put God first in our lives. And may I say this, and then get your response. If Christians not counting everybody, just if Christians would simply be obedient to that text, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things would be added unto you, I believe that could revolutionize Christendom, that would revolutionize our churches, that would revolutionize the thought and the processes of what calling a resolution or new resolution, New Year's resolution, what that would mean. What say you? What are your thoughts in relation? I believe if we would put that first, all of these other things would fall in place. What say you?
Well, certainly, once again, Dr. Youngblood, we should not be worried about the things in everyday life because, as I said before, each and every time I know that I've prayed, this country boy, each and every time I have prayed to God for things, God has always answered me. Now, there have been times when I had to wait on the Lord because the scripture also commands us to do that, to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I have found out that even when it comes down to times of waiting, God is still in control. So what we have to do, again, when we come down to talking about resolutions and being resolved, every single day we ought to be resolved. If you have the things that you want in life, you need to learn how to be resolved. Appreciate it, because there are some people that don't have what you have. And even if you don't have the things that you think that you need, you still need to be thankful and be resolved. Because, listen, God knows what you need more than what you know. And he knows a whole lot of time when you're praying and asking God, change the situation, make it better, change this person, change that person. Sometimes he has to change you first in order to for you to be able to receive what he has for you. So this is the reason why I say that verse of scripture right there, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God is telling us something in that verse. Look for him each and every day. Put his kingdom above everything that's here. So many times we get caught up in the politics and we get caught up into what the president's doing, what he's not doing, what the Democrats are doing, Republicans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have to realize that we can't put our trust and confidence in someone who doesn't know Christ. We can do something about that. The scripture tells us even to pray for those who are in authority. So guess what? If they're doing things that you don't like or things that you don't agree with and you're not praying, you're not doing your job.
That's
because
right.
You're not praying. That's what the scripture says. Amen?
That's right.
So
Amen.
If we seek God, keep him first, pray before we do things, pray before we step out of the door. I heard a pastor say one time, when the telephone rings, pray before you answer it. When someone knocks at the door, pray before you open the door. These are important steps that we need to take in everyday life if we're going to serve God. Amen?
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, when I go back to that text, Matthew 6:33, it's powerful, powerful, I believe, more than we could ever dream possible. It's not saying seek self, not saying seek family, it's not saying seek the job, it's not saying seek priority, prestige, and position in life. It's saying seek the kingdom of God, the basileon, the rule and the reign of God first, priority, number one. It's what will God have us to do? Where will God have us to go? What will God have us to say? What kind of job would God have us to have? To see the challenge, it is to ask God about everything that we do. Our priority ought to be based on Scripture, not on culture, not on convenience, not on emotions. That's my position. And Dr. Davis, it is my prayer that all of those that are listening to our voices today will understand the value of seeking God first, placing him first in our time, talent, treasure, and testimony, letting God lead out. And let us just simply look at it. God, what will you have me to do today? Where will you have me to go today? What will you have me to say today? And allow God to rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And I believe that will make a vast difference in the hearts and the lives and the homes of Christian families. And it's my prayer that that will be heard, heeded, and followed by our listeners today as we talk about New Year's resolutions. Dr. Davis, brother, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for joining the discussion.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, let me say one more other thing. If we're going to do things in reference to making resolutions, they ought to be S-M-A-R-T, SMART. If we want to use an acrostic for each one of those letters, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Are we able to do all of these things? Can we do this? A lot of times, we make resolutions simply because it's traditional. And a whole lot of times, they end up being a bunch of empty lies because we know that we're not, in our hearts, we're not truthful about it. So listen, God already knows your heart before you open your mouth. So be careful, because also in that same John 6:33, things will end up keeping us out of his kingdom if we're not careful, because we're putting things before God instead of putting God first. Amen?
Praise God. Absolutely. So, God needs to be first. Absolutely. Dr. Davis, thank you so much. Taya Bride, we're praying for her and looking forward to what God will do in her health. God bless you, and thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Brother Ken, when we talk about putting God first, then the second thing, if I were to outline it for the life of a Christian, for what we call New Year's resolutions, the second thing would be let's faith God. And in faith in God, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We trust in God and all of his promises, even when it is unclear about our future. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Talk about that in relationship to the Christian and this brand new year that we're entering in.
Okay. I believe that when God begins to work in a sinner's life and draw them to Christ, they're going to be drawn to the local New Testament church. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart to see the state of what people call church these days.
Right.
And these three errors that I find are prevalent actually inhibit and restrict and almost cause a person to not be able to find Christ among all the distractions that modern ministry has become. Here are the errors that I see. The carnal atmosphere of modern evangelical churches.
You mean the smoke, mirrors, and the incense burning?
That's
the black
exactly
walls,
what
the black
I mean.
Ceiling, and the rock and roll music, you think that's somehow hampering the Holy Spirit?
It is in a tragic way. The second one is the misuse of music in our modern evangelical churches. Mm-hmm. And then what Jesus termed as hypocrites in ministry that employ these techniques to attract people to their ministries. And I think until we really work diligently to expose these errors, educate the layperson on the existence of these errors, because right now people go to church, they see the lights, the theatrical show, the spectacle, the LED screens, the smoke machines, the loud music, and the emotional singing. They think, wow, I'm experiencing God in a new way. I'm growing spiritually, and I'm getting so much out of these services. But when, in fact, the opposite is happening. Mm-hmm. Nothing is happening spiritually. And it's all a matter of educating, through the Word of God, the principles that are at play here. It's a topic that is very near and dear to me. I don't want to be a one-topic person as a Christian, mm-hmm. But it's certainly a topic that the Lord has laid on my heart. And as you know, I'm in the process of publishing my first book on this topic called Spacious Hypocrites and Dissembler Ministries, that really dives in and lifts the hood up about what's really happening with all this colored lights and the misuse of music. And these imposters, these counterfeits that are running these ministries, so-called, that promote this type of activity.
Mm-hmm. Makes a big difference. It still goes back to, with all that you've said, not discounting that, minimizing that at all, but with all of that, it goes back to, let's put God first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about resolutions for the Christian for the new year. Have you made a resolution? What are some of your resolutions? We want to hear from you today as we enter into this brand new year. We want to hear from you. What are you saying is the most important things that you need to do for the new year? What kind of resolutions are you setting up and placing before you and your family to achieve during the course of this year? We need to not only seek God first, but we need to faith God and not walk by sight, but by faith in what God will do. I believe many times, ladies and gentlemen, we get ahead of God. We decide we want to do something, we decide where we want to go, and we make our beeline path for that, and maybe that's not the direction that God wants us to go in. We need to faith God and not sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, again, I read, says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.